Hello, everyone. This is Ruth Altamir Roll. I've been talking for, about 15 minutes without a mic on. I am a licensed professional counselor. I'm starting from the beginning. I don't know if we can do something with this video. But anyway, so I have my master's in counseling. I am a counselor. I am not all of this technical stuff, and I do this almost every time I forget something or don't do something. I've got my master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor. So anyway, I've been talking about, believe it or not, codependency. That's the topic, being codependent. And where does it come from? It comes from family dysfunction. The history of it. Again, the history of being codependent started way back when we began to recognize that people were getting involved in the dysfunction of other people, trying to bring you back to normal. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to bring you back to normal. I'm trying to bring you back to healthy. Your focus is on alcohol, drugs, work, exercise, food, gaming, videos, fantasy, church, politics, spending, workaholism, pornography, sex, religion, go on and on. We are in a very dysfunctional time as a society. We live in very dysfunctional families. As a consequence, we live in a very dysfunctional country. Highly, highly codependent. When we grow up in families where there is dysfunction, we do not get what we need as children, and we are traumatized. We are traumatized and immature. When we are traumatized and immature, we are not healthy, we are unhealthy, and we end up having children, and unhealthy, traumatized, immature people raise unhealthy, traumatized, immature children who become unhealthy, traumatized, immature adults. And that is really sort of what is going on in our society. It is, we have become an incredibly codependent, immature society. So there are ways to, well, I'm going to give you the characteristics of what, and I get these characteristics from Pia Melody. Now, Pia Melody, she works at the Meadows in Arizona. She has written many books, done many videos. I would definitely suggest that you go and review some of her things on YouTube. She is brilliant, brilliant. And it's funny, there's also Melody Beattie. She wrote one of the first books called Codependent No More. It's still one of the most popular books out there on being codependent. And both of those books, Facing Codependent by Pia Melody, and it's just funny, their names, and Codependent No More by Melody Beattie, are really important books to read. Another really important book to read is The Adult Children of Alcoholics book by Janet Woitz, Woitz. They're all very important. They're books from the 80s, but they're still super, super relevant. And there's many, many more modern books. More relevant, but newer. But basically, being codependent, it is a crisis. It is an epidemic. I'm going to say that. It is a national epidemic. So one of the things that happens quite often when someone is codependent, not only is their focus on another person, their focus is not on themselves. So there's poor self-care. And there's a lot of sort of black and white, all or nothing thinking. So there may be poor self-care, or there's only self-care. Like, so it becomes sort of narcissistic. You know, the thing is that's really interesting about narcissism. We think of it as someone who is just so full of themselves and filled with self-love, and You know, it's all about me. Isn't it all about me? Well, that person really has no healthy self-esteem. And of course, the person with no self-esteem has no healthy self-esteem. And that black and white, all or nothing, it's terrible, it's awful, it's always a crisis. Or I want to create a crisis because I'm comfortable in a crisis because that's how I know how to function. I can function in a crisis. I grew up with constant crisis. Crisis is what I know what to do. I know how to be in crisis. If there is no fire to put out, I don't know what to do. So you know what I might do is I might actually start a fire. I mean, that sounds insane. But the interesting thing about people who are codependent is they foster more dysfunction. The more codependent you are, the more you will foster dysfunction. Therefore, you enable, you rescue, you caretake. So, there are five characteristics as listed out by Pia Melody. So, I will definitely, this is all her stuff. I'm putting it in my words, but it is her stuff. And she says there's really five basic characteristics. And they come from growing up in trauma, growing up with addiction, growing up with a parent who has mental health issues, growing up in families that are broken, single parent homes, parents that are, you know, filled with their own mental health issues, dysfunction. Dysfunction, immature, addicted, unhealthy people who have children raise addicted, unhealthy people who have issues. It's the way it goes. It's pretty rare that someone who is an addict raises a healthy child. Like, it just really doesn't happen. You cannot be present for your child when you are focused on this. And we give our babies now this. And teach them, be focused on this. We learn to have a relationship with this. I cannot learn empathy through this. If I do not have empathy, I am an unhealthy human being. As an unhealthy human being, I have kids and I have no empathy for my kids. They don't learn empathy. So the dysfunction. There's a clock just came up. So the dysfunction or the codependent behaviors, the codependent picture looks like someone who really does not have good self-esteem. They don't even know really what self-esteem is. Isn't self-esteem, you know, getting your hair done and getting a massage and looking really good, going to the gym. Yeah, you know, I look fit, you know, but not fit enough. So I keep going and get my Botox and, you know, all of that stuff. You know, so the outside looks really good. And I'm always trying to better it. It's the inside. When I rely on other people to give me compliments about how I look, what I'm doing, who I am, and I really don't even have any clue, I need you to tell me. I need you to tell me that I'm a good person. I need you to tell me that I'm doing the right thing. I need you to describe my values and my morals, and I need you to be my conscience. Those are the things that is called other esteem. healthy self-esteem is, what is it that I think about myself in an honest, as best as possible, way? So I know I am not a perfect person. I make mistakes all the time. However, with that being said, I'm creative. I'm talented. I have a good sense of humor. I enjoy giving to people. I am caring. I have value. I respect myself. I am competent in what I do. I have the ability to learn. I wish I had more time to learn more things. I wish I was a little more competent in some areas. Like, I recognize there's areas in my life where I still need growth. So I'm being real. I'm being clear. I'm not better than. I am not less than. And I know I've said some of these things before, and it's been a long time since I've been doing Counselor's Chat. We have that narcissistic, better than, I'm in charge, you have to listen to me because I know it all kind of personality. We have that, I am nothing, I am worthless, I don't even know why you even like me. If you really knew me, you wouldn't even want to know me. Kind of, they're opposite ends. So one is that narcissistic, and that other one is that shame-based. Narcissist is shame-based too, but they don't know it. Shame-based narcissist. It's really getting into that point where we're humble. And humble, you know, the word humble is so interesting. It comes from a Latin derivative of humus or humus, which is not a chickpea dip. It means dirt. Well, that's sort of the story. We're made from dirt. But that doesn't mean I'm lower than dirt. See, that's no self-esteem. Good humility is, I'm not any different than anybody else. I am not different. No one is different from me. We are all human beings. We are all human beings. That's it. That's there is nothing else. It's very plain and simple. I'm either a human being or I'm not a human being. When we add all this other stuff, I mean, you begin to see the codependency within our society. If I'm a human being and you're a human being, we're human beings. That's all. What do human beings have? We have feelings, we have thoughts, we have behaviors, we have likes and dislikes. We're all connected. We're all human beings. I can be a human being who happens to be white. I am a human being who happens to be black. I am a human being that happens to be brown. I am a human being that happens to be conservative. I'm a human being that happens to be progressive. I'm a human being that happens to be Christian. I'm a human being that happens to be atheist. I'm a human being that happens to be gay. I'm a human being that happens to be transsexual. I'm a human being that happens to come from Africa. I'm a human being that happens to come from Nicaragua. I'm a human being that happens to come from Hungary. I'm a human being. I'm a human being that comes from the Iroquois tribe. I'm a human being. I'm a human being that's an Aborigine from Australia. It doesn't matter. Human being. That's it. That's the human, the humus, the... We are all the same. Saying that, yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. And that is really the truth of it. There is nothing else. Nothing else. When we move away from that, we move into that area of being codependent. A self-esteem issue. I'm better than you. You're less than I am. More than, less than, more than, less than. It's a self-esteem issue. We're equal. We're equal. How we end up, what we do, the decisions, the choices we make. But we're equal. We're human. That's it. Codependency begins to break that down. It's actually an immature way of looking at the world. Now, you people may be turning me off right now, but that's okay. But that is the reality of it. The other thing about being codependent is the importance for boundaries and limits. Everything in this world has boundaries and limits. A tulip will not grow in the Antarctic. A snowstorm will not happen on the equator. A palm tree will not grow in Toronto. Unless it's in a greenhouse. So we're smart enough to kind of create small little atmospheres to make things grow. There are animals, like a polar bear is not going to live on the equator. And an iguana is not going to live in Alaska. Unless it's living in a zoo. Or, you know, you have a temperature controlled whatever because you happen to want an iguana pet. Boundaries and limits are a natural part of nature. Spam risk. Natural part of nature. Boundaries and limits. I know where I end and you begin. That's basically what a boundary and a limit is. When I have a piece of property, I know what my boundary is. When I go up to the edge of where my property ends, it's the part I pay taxes on, it's the part that I own, it's the part that's in my deed, I've reached the boundary. When I go over that, I've crossed the limit, I'm onto your property, I have crossed your boundary. If you come onto mine, especially without, you know, when nobody's asking permission, we've crossed boundaries. I cannot just walk and waltz into your house and go, oh, gee, I really like that painting. I think I'm going to take it. I've crossed a limit and a boundary. It's not mine to take. You can give it to me. That might be a lovely gift. But it's not okay for me to walk into your house and go put on your underwear. It's not okay for you to come into my house and walk in and just use my toothbrush. It's not okay. I need to know what my boundaries are and my limits. If I go beyond my limit is to maybe 3 slices of pizza. I'm eating 4 and 5 slices of pizza. I go beyond my limit and it shows. Okay? When we go beyond our limit, when we don't know our boundaries, when we don't have the voice, and the next part of being codependent is the struggle with want and need and knowing what you're feeling. I have numbed myself. I'm so focused on what you are doing that I have numbed myself to my own limit. And I'm going over and I have no voice. I don't know what I feel. I don't know how to express it. I don't know what to say, other than I'm trying to make you do something or be something that maybe you don't want to be. I need to know what my wants are versus my needs. So that is one of the issues around being codependent. I don't know what I want. I don't know what I need. I need it all. I need everything. I don't need everything. And because I struggle with boundaries and limits, I don't know when I've had enough. I need everything. So there you go, even go to that all or nothing, that black and white thinking. I don't know my limits. I need everything. I need everything. Well, I don't need everything. I might want, I might. All right, so I have a 6. I don't really need a new phone. It's still working very well. I don't have any problems with it. It downloads. The battery goes quickly, but I understand that's a, because my nephew said that's sort of a thing that Apple does, so that as your thing gets, they actually pull energy from it. I don't know. It could be conspiracy theory. I have no idea. So that it kind of encourages you to buy a new one. That, I kind of believe that. Now, my iPad is brand new. See, my iPad? It was so old, it couldn't download anymore. I needed a new iPad. I might want a new iPhone. What I wanted with my iPad is a speaker. So I bought a Bluetooth speaker. I don't need it. It comes with a speaker. I wanted it. There's a difference. I actually don't even need an iPad. I don't need it. Now, a lot of times I use it in counselor's chat because I keep my notes on, and I'm just talking off the top of my head because this is such a topic that is just, I talk about it all the time. I can just get one of those little calendars and write in it and keep it in my pocket or my purse. I don't need an iPad for that. I want it. It's nice. It takes nice pictures. Same thing with a phone. You know, like, my mom still has an old flip phone. I like it too. It takes pictures, and I can do social media on there, and I don't need it. I want it. Knowing the difference between what you want and need. I need a healthy relationship in my life. I need to be in a relationship with someone who is mostly healthy. I mean, we're none of us are perfect. Again, none of us are perfect people, but that is something that I need. I need someone that I can relate to in a healthy way. Like I said, my first husband was an alcoholic. My mother is alcoholic. A lot of dysfunction growing up. My first marriage, like I said, alcoholic. I need someone who is sober. I need someone who works on being emotionally, mentally healthy, physically healthy. I need those things. I just don't want them. If I'm going to have a healthy, mature relationship, I need to be in relationship with someone who is mostly healthy and mature. And that's the thing for myself. My goal for me is to be as healthy and mature as I can. Again, I am not perfect. I know sometimes I say things and I'm like, oh, well, that was really probably not the best thing to say, but not perfect. And sometimes I clarify it. What do I want and what do I need? Those are really important things about being an adult, being a mature person. An immature person. I want that. I want. You like a little kid in a candy store. I want that. Can I have that? I want it. I want it. I want it. I want what I want when I want it. That's an addictive. You go to AA meetings. That's one of their little slogans. I want what I want when I want it. People who are codependent want what they want when they want it. Because they don't understand the difference between want and need. I remember early on in my own recovery process, want and need. There were a lot of things that I needed to sort of decipher. Like, what is that? What does that mean? Oh my gosh, I dated so many dysfunctional people because I thought I needed to be in a relationship. I need to be in a relationship. I didn't need to be in a relationship. I wanted to be in a healthy relationship. That's what I want. I want a healthy relationship. I would rather be single than be in an unhealthy relationship. If my self-esteem is good, and I have good self-respect, I will not put myself in situations where my boundaries and limits are crossed all the time and find myself in unhealthy relationships because I think I need it. You see how that begins to all connect? Another thing about being codependent that Pia Melody talks about, she's got the five things, is really sort of being able to advocate for yourself. It's not really the words she uses early on. She talks about being political. Now she talks about knowing what you think, what you feel, how to express those things, being vocal. I'm saying advocate. Advocacy is something that's sort of now being taught. It's theory. Being able to advocate. That means having a voice. You know what? That was not okay what you just did. I need to actually, I need to send this back because it's not cooked well enough. There's hair in my soup. I need to have a voice. I need to be able to say that is not okay. It's not okay when you come home drunk. It's not okay when you come to bed at 4 or 5:30 in the morning because you've been playing video games all night. Not okay. I need to be able to voice that. It's not okay that I sit and read a book while you're gaming with other people. It's not okay. It's not okay that I'm working and you're working and we're getting boxes and boxes and boxes of Amazon delivered to our house and we are in debt. Not okay. I need to be able to voice these things. I need to be able to have my voice. I may not agree with you. I need my voice. You may not agree with me. We may have different perspectives, different ideologies, different religions, different political views. You know, I talked last week again about dysfunctional families, the three rules: don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. This is all the advocacy aspects. I grew up in a house where I cannot say I can't talk. I can't tell you that daddy or my brother's molesting me. I can't tell you that. And I can't trust anybody with that information. And I've shut my feelings down because I have to numb out to be able to survive the trauma. I was talking to a client yesterday about the possibility of, you know, if I grew up in an alcoholic home, my father's in a blackout, and he breaks into my bedroom and rapes me. He's in a blackout. He thinks that he's having sex with his wife or girlfriend, and he's having sex with his daughter. He has no idea. What do I do? Who do I go to? What do I say? How do I? Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I shut down. I disassociate. I'm now traumatized. You think those things don't go on? I remember took a course in trauma and incest years ago, and one of the things that the person teaching the course said is that incest is not taboo. Talking about it is taboo. Trafficking. The amount of children that are trafficked, the amount of women that are trafficked, the amount of trauma that is happening in this world. But we don't want to talk about it. As a matter of fact, entertain yourself. play video games, go on New Jersey gambling sites. Keep yourself uneducated. Don't talk about it. If I don't talk about it, if I don't know about it, I can't say anything. If I can't say anything, I allow it to continue. I can't advocate for myself. I can't advocate for someone else. As a therapist, one of my jobs is to advocate. And you know what I am doing now? I am advocating. I am telling you that we are living in a very codependent society. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are on. Telling one side that they have to stop talking is dysfunctional. It's dysfunctional. Has nothing to do. I'm going to say it even has nothing to do with the Constitution and the First Amendment right of free speech. It is human dysfunction. It is codependent behavior. So, self-esteem, boundaries and limits, know what you like and need, need and want, advocate for yourself. And the last thing is basically emotional regulation. How do I manage my emotion? How do I communicate it? How do I take care of it? How do I even know what I feel? In my own process of working and healing codependency in my own life, one of the things that I needed to do was decipher the meanings of words that were attached to emotions and what did they actually mean for me. Meaning I needed to expand my emotional vocabulary. Client that I've been working with for a couple of years now, and when he first came in, so how do you feel today? I feel some sort of way. Okay, well, what does that mean? I don't know. I got feelings. I don't know. Is it angry? Is it sad? We have four basic feelings as human beings. Four. Across the board, human beings have four basic feelings: sad, mad, glad, and afraid. Sad, mad, glad, and afraid. They come in volume. Not meaning a large amount, I mean sound, tone. I'm really happy about something. I'm ecstatic. You know, I'm kind of peaceful. Everything's fine. I'm terrorized. I'm a little down. I'm grieving. Right? You get the idea? It's a spectrum of intensity. The volume, that's what I call it. The volume of emotion. I'm kind of bored. I'm in the depth of despair. I don't know. I'm actually really, really lonely. I'm confused. I'm baffled. I don't know. I'm questioning. There's so many words that are attached to emotional feelings. It is incredible. Sad, mad, glad, and afraid. Sometimes we could say lonely, but we have words where I believe because we are complicated, like disgusted. Disgusted. Oh, gosh. Disgusted is sort of sad and hate and ugh. Disgusted. Sometimes the sound works. Bittersweet. Combinations of these feelings can get grouped together. And we do have some words for that because we are rather complicated. So when I'm angry, am I storming the Capitol? I'm not regulating my emotions very well. Am I burning down Portland or Kenosha? I'm not regulating my feelings. Mature people regulate their feelings. They acknowledge them. I am super angry right now. I'm furious. But I'm not going to be smashing windows, burning cars, shooting people. Regulate emotions. I understand how I feel. I can acknowledge my feelings. I can put a word on them. I name them. I can voice them. I claim them as mine. I would be very angry if you broke into my house and used my toothbrush. Really? I would have to say, I'm really angry that you did that. There may be consequences to your behavior. I might even call the police. You broke into my house. You crossed a boundary. I have the right to say I'm really angry about it. I may take action, but I'm not going to shoot you in the head. I may be that angry, but I'm not going to do it because I can regulate my emotions. I can regulate my emotions. I may have to take a step back. See, this is a mature thing. I need to take a step back. Think, okay, what is it that I need to do? How am I going to tackle this problem? See, when we grew up in a dysfunction, this is in the Adult Children of Alcoholics book, where we say people who grew up in alcoholic dysfunctional homes cannot follow a project through from beginning to end. That's a symptom. Well, gee, nobody even stopped and said to me, hey, well, take a step back. Let's look at it. Let's think about what we want to do, how we want to approach it, what is it that we want to say. I say this to clients all the time. Do that. Actually, write down. Write a letter. What is it you want to? And the first letter you write it all out. Let it all. Drop your F-bombs. Let it all out on paper. Write it again in a way that's a little bit more contained with some more thought, and maybe even write it again, and then decide if you're going to even share it. Sometimes, and I found this in my own life, that sometimes even sharing something after I have taken that step back and reviewed it, I go, is it going to change anything? No. You know what has to change? I have to change. I cannot force a situation. I can vocalize, use my words, use my voice, tell you what I see, explain things to you. If you choose to listen, if you choose to make a change, that's great. If you don't, I don't know. Maybe I have to make a decision in terms of what I need to do in terms of my relationship with you. And it doesn't matter if you're a parent, a child, a friend, a coworker. I have to make a decision on how I take care of myself, advocate for myself. What are my boundaries? What are my limits? What is my area of self-respect? See how it all plays a role? We're looking at creating healthy adults. And we are not living in a country that is run by healthy adults, governed by healthy adults, have healthy adults employing us, have healthy adults raising our children, creating unhealthy children, creating unhealthy adults. You know, New Jersey's made marijuana legal. A lot of people are like, yay! You know, they never asked therapists and drug and alcohol counselors about it. They just did it. Because they wanted to. Numb us all out. Buy our votes through offering free drugs or access to drugs. Close the churches, keep the liquor stores open. The levels of depression. Oh my gosh, the levels of anxiety that I see. The children that are staying home from school, whose self-esteem is plummeting, who are doing self-harm, who are having suicidal thoughts. The inability to go to churches, and I know churches are beginning to open up again. AA meetings finally are beginning to open up again in New Jersey. The amount of relapse. Close AA meetings, but keep the liquor stores open. If you cannot see that is dysfunctional, I feel sad about that. You cannot see the dysfunction. It's part of why I do counselors chat, to promote good mental health. I'd like to say these are strictly my views, that this is an opinion. Well, some of it is an opinion. I will not deny that. But my opinion is based upon my education and my experience as a therapist. I use a lot of AA material because I have a strong background in addiction recovery. I'm very strong in cognitive behavioral theory. That if we change how we think, we change how we behave, we change our response. I have a very deep knowledge of trauma. Trauma is not something that just happens to the soldier on the battlefield. Trauma. I am a soldier who has never faced any type of battle on the battlefield. I have been in the National Guard. I've been home. And now I'm standing here in Washington, D.C., told that I may have to shoot a fellow American. That my own people are now terrorists. That's trauma. That's trauma. We have 26,000 people sleeping on floors in the Capitol, loaded to shoot fellow Americans. That's trauma. It's trauma for them. It's trauma for those that may attend. It's trauma for the people that are taking office because they are so traumatized, they are so filled with fear. This is trauma. When we have trauma, we have dysfunction. We become traumatized, and we traumatize our children. And our children grow up being traumatized. And they grow up with issues around being codependent, because we are codependent. We are codependent. We, the adults in this country, are codependent. Well, it's about the end of the time for my show. If you want any more information about me, you can go on to www.altarolecounselor.com. I do virtual counseling. I do in-person counseling in a very safe, socially distanced, well-sanitized way. You can call me at 908-237-2899, and please like me on Facebook on Counselor's Chat. I will be back next week. I will continue to talk about dysfunction, codependency, this whole month, most likely, because I think it is such a huge, overpowering issue in our country. It's not just me, the individual. It is not just the family. It is our society, the towns, the states, the governing, the citizens, the non-citizens. So next week, we're going to talk about how to combat. I mean, some of what I talked about today was how to combat being codependent, but anyway, I will be back next week, next Tuesday at 11 o'clock with my third rendition of Counselor's Chat for 2021. It's really good to be back, and I hope this was useful, and I hope this was helpful, and let's all work at learning how to be adults. Thank you for listening. I'm Ruth Altamirovol, licensed professional counselor.